right. Well, I'll never get used to this. Figured out something new. You can be tired and nervous at the same time. So I'll probably fall asleep before any of you do. I'm going to tell a story that has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach about. But I was telling Timmy earlier, so I was like, why not? When I was like 5, I don't know how I found it, but I found one of my dad's shirts. It was Superman shirt. And I went and asked him. I was like, Dad, are you Superman? And knowing my dad, if you know my dad, he took this and he ran with it. So he sits me on the bed, closes the door, and with his most serious face, he comes over there, sits on the bed next to me. He's like, kid, I'm going to tell you something that you can't tell anybody. I am Superman. I'll never forget that, ever. And I believed it, so. I mean, I'm 5 years old. The book of James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. The Bible makes it evident that there are two kinds of people. There are wicked men, and there are righteous men. If you listen to somebody talk long enough, based on what comes out of their mouth, you can tell exactly what category they belong in. That's what I'm going to be preaching about tonight, our words. So, James chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. James chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. They say, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So in verse 4, it says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with the very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. It mentions the helm of a ship. The helm is defined as the steering mechanism and control center, typically consisting of a steering wheel that manages the rudder to guide the vessel. Just as a singular steering wheel is small compared to the entire ship, but can change the ship's entire direction, we can let our tongue take control of us and lead us into sin. Verse 5 says, even so, referring to verse 4, it says, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I doubt there's anybody in here that would imagine themselves going to somebody's house and just setting it on fire. That's just something you don't imagine yourself doing. But what we don't realize is that we set fires with our mouths every day that we can't put out. Sometimes we burn people with the fires of our mouth, and we create scars that will never go away. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. It says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So as I said earlier, there are wicked men and there are righteous men. And we can distinguish them based on how they use their words. In verse 13, we find that the righteous man's words are wise. Verse 14 says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. In verse 14, it says that the wicked man's words are destructive. We can use wise words to build each other up, but wicked words will always destroy. Once you have said wicked words to somebody, you can never rebuild what you've destroyed. So we must use our words wisely. If we skip to verses 18 through 21, it says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander, is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." So in verse 18 we see, the wicked man's words are foolish. Verse 19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Some people think that you have to say wise things to be wise. But sometimes wisdom comes in knowing when to talk and when not to talk. Knowing when to listen. Verse 20 says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth." We see here, the righteous man's words are valuable. Have you ever talked to someone that they grabbed your attention because you knew that what they had to say was important? It's not that they're saying a lot of words where you have to listen because they're just going on and on, but you realize that their words are valuable because you respect what they're saying. The heart of the wicked is little worth. That means the wicked man's words are cheap. You ever heard the phrase, "Words are cheap"? Or talk is cheap. The righteous man doesn't just talk. He does what he's saying. He's a man of his word. Have you ever bought something online? And then you look at it and it's like, this is a cool item. And you're like, wow, that's surprisingly cheap. And then you buy it and you get all excited. You know, this was cheap for how cool it looks on the picture. You get it, and you open it up, and then you're looking at it, and you're like, this doesn't look exactly like it did on the picture. And then it breaks in the first week. My dad always told me, he said, you get what you pay for.
That's right.
That's right. I found out he was right about that. But the wicked man's words are the same way. You can listen to the wicked man talk, and it sounds all great on paper, but when the truth comes out, you realize you can't trust a thing he's saying. So now turn over a couple pages to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble." Now skip down to verse 17. It says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Verse 17 shows us that the righteous man's words are truthful. Those are the kind of words you can trust, the kind of words that you know are backed with honesty. The end of verse 17 shows us that a false witness speaketh deceit. Here we find that the wicked man's words are deceitful. Verse 19, it says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." This shows us that the wicked man's words are short-lived. These are the kind of people that break their promises and regret their choices. Now flip over to Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in spirit." Jesus was the perfect example of what it says in verse 1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." In the wilderness, when he was tempted by Satan, he didn't return Satan's deceit with evil, but he instead answered him with scripture in a calm but smart way. If we turn to Matthew chapter 4, we can read this story. Matthew chapter 4, it says, if I can unstick my page, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Honestly, I can't last like 5 hours without eating. So, and I get pretty angry sometimes when I haven't got my food. But Satan tempted him when he was at his most vulnerable. But Jesus answers him with scripture. How many times have we griped at someone we love just because we had a rough day? How many times have we snapped at someone we love for no reason at all? And Jesus had gone 40 days without eating, and then answered his greatest enemy with composure and self-control. Now turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And skip to verse 26. It says, "If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." These two verses kind of tie together, talking about kind of knowing when to speak. But one thing I notice about a lot of people, including myself, we make this mistake. We tend to speak before we listen. Yeah. Communication is one of the most important things you can master in life. Right. The definition of the word communication is sending or receiving information. But we tend to do more sending than receiving. We tend to get only half of it right. When we start to make every conversation we have one-sided, we can destroy many of our relationships. You can have an entire list of great things to say, but if you never listen, not only will you never learn anything new, but fewer people will want to listen to you, and your words become less valuable. Someone who talks and talks and talks tends to be the person you get tired of listening to pretty fast. But the person who listens has time to respond with the right words. Jesus doesn't interrupt Satan, but he lets Satan talk, even though Jesus knows he's wrong, and he answers him with the right words. Some of the wisest people you will ever know are the greatest listeners because they are swift to hear and slow to speak. Pastor Ed was talking this morning about walkie-talkies. It made me think about on the way to camp, there were two vans, and one of them was the girls' van and one was the boys' van. And they had a walkie-talkie in each van because we weren't allowed to have our phones, so we kind of used that as our entertainment. We'd play games like I Spy and 20 Questions. But what we realized soon, because the girls drive slow, is that these walkie-talkies had a range limit. So we'd have to wait on the girls to catch up. We had to do that once or twice. But this applies to our communication with God. God has a destination for us in His will. If we stop going the right direction or make a detour for conveniency, it becomes harder for us to communicate with Him, and we get more distant. So by staying faithful in God's will for our lives, we can better communicate with Him and reach the destination He has for us. And that includes praying, sending information to God, and reading our Bible, receiving information from Him. But getting back on our main point, how are we using our words? The best thing to do, somebody could go ask your closest friends, how does he talk? What kind of words does he use? What would your friends say? Would they say your words are wise? Would they say your words are valuable? Would they say your words are truthful? Or would they say your words are destructive and foolish and cheap and deceitful and short-lived? The best way to know is to compare yourself to Jesus, because He was the best example of how to use our words. Because the more that we make our words glorify God, the more we come closer to Him. Yeah. If Christ never spoke a wrong word to people who beat Him, cursed Him, and mocked Him, why do we use our words to set fires to those around us that haven't done us any wrong? Based off of your words, which kind of person are you? Wicked or righteous? Please bow your heads and close your eyes.